Lord, we thank you that Steve Conner, our brother Steve here, is willing to step in and teach when needed. We pray, Lord, for this dear brother that you would bless him and guide him today as he teaches. We pray that we would hear your word and that we would hear from your spirit what we need to hear. May you just go before Steve in every word he has. I know that he doesn't want any of us to hear him. He wants us to hear you. And God, I just pray that we would. So Lord, we thank you so much. We are so blessed. Help us with our joy, Lord, to press into you, to press into your word, to press into your Holy Spirit, and walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Help us today, Lord, as we fellowship in our backyard, that we might love each other. We thank you, Lord. You're awesome. You are literally awesome. You are awesome. And we thank you. Praise your holy name, you King of glory. In Jesus' amazing name, we pray. Amen.
You guys ever seen, have you guys ever seen, like, the Olympics when when the guy's getting ready for a race, and they get crouched down on the ground, right? You guys all seen that? And they're all tense, and you know they're waiting for that gun to go off, right? Well, I got to tell you, when Mike's praying, I'm sitting there just like that. I'm wound up like a spring. I am so tight, ready to go. You guys should be really happy I hold myself back. I want to tell you something today. I have had a great week. I hope you have too. I've had a great week. My family was all able to be with me. I have 9 children, and all 9 of my children were able to be at my house. And guess what? All 6 of my grandbabies were there too. So I got pictures, I got time with them, and I don't know if you've ever had a visit with your family and everything. You know how great that is, right? But are you guys in a different world than me? But listen, have you ever had like the last hour you're together is like the greatest? I mean, you're all talking and you're, right? You're waiting for that last hour you're together. Like, oh, this is great. Oh, we're family. Before that, you're all busy doing stuff, right? Well, we had that same thing. We had a great time together with everything, but that last hour at my home before my son drove back to Tennessee so he could be at his church this morning, that last hour we got around our piano, and I want to be thankful, and that's why I'm telling you. I want to be thankful in front of God and people. He started playing a piano, and we started praising the Lord together. Now listen, I'm singing with them, and I'm having a great time singing, right? But then I stopped singing, and I listened to my kids singing. Better felt than telt. They were singing. You know what I thought? Here's exactly what I thought. Here I was, a skinny kid. Hard to believe. I was a skinny kid, and we didn't know if we'd ever have children, right? Some of you know that story. 7 years, and then I was able to hear all those kids singing, giving glory to God, because God gave them to me. I wanted to take my shoes off. Remember, that's what happened with Moses? Woo! Anyway, okay, I'm okay now. I'm going to put them back on. People might complain. But listen, I wanted to say in front of God and people, what a blessing. What a blessing. Oh, okay. All right, now. Oh. Listen, this is, look back there, that's my wife. Everybody should know this. She's a quiet supporter of me. She's, you know, the Bible says when you find a wife, you found a great thing, right? You found a good thing. I found a great thing. I don't know about you, I found a great thing. But that's what the Bible says, and she's been good to me for 36 years. 36 years, she said she's loved me. Love at first sight is not a miracle. Love after 30 years, that's a miracle. All right? Hey, she's... You ever thank the person who washes your socks? You should. Okay. Just letting you know, I thank that person. It's wonderful. I want to say some things now, and I want you all to think with me, please. And I'm going to have you add some stuff today, so be ready. I hope that God opens your eyes. There's going to be things I'm not even going to say, but I hope God gives it to you anyway. Isn't it great that God does that? It doesn't even have to be what the teacher's talking about, but all of a sudden, something jumps out to you and helps you in your life. We're going to do that today, hopefully. Hopefully, we're going to read some stuff in Scripture. It's going to help you a lot. 1 Thessalonians is a... it's got a lot of stuff in it, a lot of different stuff. It's not a laser beam book. You know, there is some laser beam books and some laser beam stuff, but this one is not. It's very, if you were doing like the 30,000 foot look down on it, you'd see a lot of different things come out at you, okay? So this morning, there's going to be a lot of stuff coming at you. And what I want you to do is grab onto that stuff that speaks to you from God and do something with it, okay? This morning, think with me. As I go through these things, run them in your mind. North Korea, ISIS, hurricane, the eclipse, marches, violence, murder, sexual deviancy, our own sin. Were any of you comforted by those words? I'm not comforted by those words. That is the world we live in. It's everywhere around us, right? This book in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, it says something. It says that in verse 14 of chapter 4, the gospel is spoken. And listen, we need comfort. I need comfort. I don't know about you. Do you ever need comfort? You ever need to be comforted? Do you know they got these places now that, I know this is crazy, they got places where you can pay and people will cuddle you. Now, I'm not joking. I know that's crazy. But if you pay, they'll cuddle you. They'll hold on to you. You know what I mean? Not me. I'm sorry. But you know what I mean? Hey, listen, you can pay and they'll cuddle you. That's crazy, right? But it's not really. People need comforting. We all need comfort. You know what? I'm so glad that we can be comforted with God's word. We can be comforted from God. We can be comforted, but you know what the comfort comes from? Listen, he's going to say it right here. Look at verse 14 of chapter 4. This is how we're comforted. In all this stuff going on, this is how we're going to be comforted. For if we believe that, I'm going to read from the King James, it's not because I believe in King James only, but that's because this is a really large print Bible and it's the only one I could find, okay? So if you have another, I mean, listen, if you somebody in the back need to read, I'll let you. So listen, I'm going to read out of it, but if you have another version where you think it brings it out more clearly, please raise your hand and say it for us, okay? But here we go. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that might, hey, you guys hear the gospel right there? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also, I got to read it right too, which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So all those that have died, God's going to bring them with him. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or stop them which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're going to break up out of the graves. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Some people call that the rapture. That's the word. Caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now read this part. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We should be comforted in Christ's return.
That's right.
This is our comfort. You want to be comforted. This is it. This is what the Bible says. And let me tell you something else. Look, think about this with me. Whose job is it to do the comforting? Read that. Somebody read it for me. Raise your hand real quick and tell me whose job is it to comfort?
One another.
No. Come on, be a little more specific.
Hey.
Yes, it's our job to comfort one another. Is that what it says? You guys, hey, stay with me, because if I'm on the wrong page, you better tell me. It's our job to comfort one another. We should comfort each other with the Lord's return. We should tell people. You know what's going to be great? I'm going to tell you what's going to be great. It's going to be great when we hear that shout.
Amen.
And we meet together in the air. Is that? Yeah. I got plans. I've got plans about the Lord's return. I would like to be in the tall. I would like to be in the basement of the tallest building in our country. You know why? Because when he says we're going to be called up, and here's what. Now this is me, okay? I would like to do this. I would like to do that Superman pose, and I'd like to crash through every floor. Anyway, that's me. I'm sorry. And then I want to see people that I haven't seen for a long time. I want to see my grandmother. You know, I want to high five my old piano player. I want to do it. That's my comfort. We need to comfort each other. Comfort each other with Christ's return. Okay? Whew. Okay, that was good. All right, now, let's get to part of the lesson. Only kidding. I want you to see this, too. I've said this, and you guys have heard me. God's command to you. You guys like that? Command doesn't mean, it's not a suggestion. God's command to you, me and Mike talked about it this morning. God's command to you is that you love me. You love me. That's God's command. You love the brothers, right? You love Christian people. That's God's command. You don't like it? Too bad. Argue with God and your arms are too short. Okay. But I want, just on that note, I want like you to look at this, okay? Look at verse 9 of chapter 4. Somebody want to read that for me in your version? Maybe.
Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another.
Read 10.
For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia, but we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more.
There you go. Hey, so guess what I'm saying this morning? I want you to love me more and more. I'm just not happy with just how you regularly love me. I want you to love me more and more. Hey, that's what it says. You know, we should love people more and more. You know, and I'm not, don't tell this to Brother Bob, but the more I'm around Brother Bob, the more I get to be with him, the more I love him. Do you hear that? The more you're with someone, the more you can love them, right? You have anybody like that? That the more you're around them, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Huh?
For sure.
Well, listen, we need to do that. We need to love each other more. There's some people I could spend a lot more time with, and I would like it a lot. It would be beneficial for me, and I would love them more and more. I already love them. But having that more time is better, right? So I want to encourage you. You already know it's right to love, right? It says right here. God's told us. We already know it's right to love each other. Well, do it more and more. Okay, that was free, just to add. Okay, now I want you to see this too. Here's another. Like I said, this is kind of, it's broke up. But look at verse chapter 5. I'm going to read it. Somebody's got a better thing, let me know. But of the times and seasons, brethren, verse 1, you have no need that I write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It's talking about the end, right? When time is done on earth, this is what's going to happen. But you, brethren and sistren here, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and children of the day. You are children of the light and children of the day. And we are not of the night nor of darkness. Let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Verse 9 says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not appointed us to wrath. He's appointed us to obtain salvation. Okay? To get salvation. He's appointed us for that. And here's the gospel again. Look at verse 10. Who died for us? That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Amen. Isn't that great? Now, verse 11 says, somebody want to read verse 11 in another version for me? Read verse 11.
Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing.
Okay. So who's supposed to do this? Is this supposed to be done by the pastor? Is that what it says?
Not only.
Only the people on staff. Is that what it says?
No.
Who's supposed to do this? Who's supposed to comfort one another? We're reading it again. Comfort ourselves together. We're supposed to do this together, okay? Whose job is it to comfort? Our job. Okay, everybody clear? You know, you don't want to just walk out of church and say, I wonder if that was to me. No, it is. It is to you. Okay, now listen to this. Look at verse 12. We're going to move into something here. This verse has been getting me for a while, okay? So I'm glad I get to bring it to you. I'm glad we get to look at it together. He says, I beg you, brethren. That beseech means to beg. I beg you. Listen, I'm going to beg you something this morning. Paul's begging you something. I'm going to say it in his words like him, I hope. I'm begging you this morning to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And listen to this. To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake.
That's right.
I appreciate someone who takes time to look at God's word and preach it to me and give me God's word. We need this isn't Steve Connor's opinion. This is not my, this is what the Bible says. We need to esteem them very highly in love. I want to hug the man's neck. I want to tell him thank you. I want to love on that person. Right? Look, they're trying to give me God's word. And what's going to help me the most in my whole life?
God's word.
That's why you're here this morning, I hope, to get God's word. That's going to help you the most in your whole life. For everything, for every area. God's word. This person is to be esteemed. Oh, look at, I want to make sure I say this right. Because I look at this. We need to esteem them. The word is right there. Did everybody see the word that comes after them? Verse 13. We need to esteem them what?
Highly.
No. There's a word in front of highly. Yeah, somebody tried to miss that. Very highly. Not just highly. Very highly. Okay? You guys all better run up to Bob today and hug him. He's going to wonder what's going on. Whoa, ho, hey, hey. Tell him you love him. You hear me? Let me tell you something. That's not wrong. Okay? That's not wrong, and the Bible says it's not wrong, but it would be wrong if you don't. Okay, I hope your feelings are okay. All right, look. esteem him very highly. And now look at this. Now, and all this, I wanted to get down to this other verse here, okay? Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now, the next three verses, I'm going to tell you something right now. Okay, so love labor, you got it? Now, let me say something, too, on this loving labor thing. There are some pastors that don't labor. So should they be esteemed? No. Sorry, no. The ones who labor,
if they're preaching the gospel, it's not to be esteemed.
But if they don't labor, but what I'm saying is, if it's not, okay, there's no room for, huh?
They have no right to be slothful. They're called to the highest profession in the world. They're to study, to show themselves approved unto God.
He's right.
Workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
You know, there's some... You go ahead.
So, I just wanted to clarify. So, you're talking about, like, maybe a pastor who spends a couple hours Saturday night getting ready for their sermon? Or is that the type of thoughtfulness you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm talking about someone who doesn't labor or among the people. Okay? I know there's pastors that they won't get around their people. They don't smell like sheep. Listen, a pastor needs to smell like sheep, right? You with me?
Okay.
You can't smell like sheep if you're not with them. So yeah, it's what it says. You need to note those who labor, right? Not note those who are lazy. You know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I heard a pastor say once, you can show me that you love me by obeying God's word. That makes my job easier.
Absolutely. Yeah, that does. That shows God, too. Have you ever seen... I heard this before. I heard this, and see if this sounds good to you, because it really sounded good to me. A good pastor, a laboring pastor, would be good at any other job he did. He would be a great grocer. He would be a great carpenter. He would be a great auto mechanic. He would be, right? Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Do you see that person?
You're talking about his heart. He may have to learn some skills.
Right, right. But he would be, no, you're right. He would be listen to this. A good pastor would be a good welder.
Right. I hear you.
He would be a good welder. You know why? He'd study to be good at it. He would become good at it. That makes sense? There's no room for lazy. That's just free. No room for lazy. This is about someone who labors. And we need to appreciate those people that labor and love us, okay, to give us God's word. All right. Okay, these next three verses is really what I wanted to get to. I'm going to move this out of the way so we can see it. Have you ever said, or have you ever heard it said, I want to know what God's will is for my life. Have you ever heard that before?
Mm-hmm.
If I could just know, I just want to know what God's will is for my life. Right now, you know, here's where I am. I'm in this part of my life. What is God's will for my life? You ever heard somebody say that? Have you said that yourself, maybe? I've said it. Don't judge me. I've said it. God, you want to follow God's will? I want to follow. But what is it? I'm going to tell you right now, listen to this, black and white. I'm going to tell you exactly, on God's word, I'm going to tell you exactly what God's will is for your life. Are you amazed? I feel like Houdini up here. Okay, look at verse 16. Read it and tell me what's there. Okay, what comes after that? No. You went too fast. What comes after the evermore? No. Somebody tell me? Who's? Hey, Eric, will you tell them what that is?
It's a comma.
It's a comma like this. It's a comma. Okay. So, now I want you guys to get this, okay? Rejoice evermore, comma. Okay, second part, read that, verse 17.
Pray without ceasing.
What? Comma? Okay, now, read that next verse. And everything give thanks.
In all circumstances, semicolon.
Uh-huh, go on.
Well, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, period.
Okay, all right. Now listen, I want you to know something. Nobody in this room, listen to me. You better not leave this room and say you don't know what God's will is for your life. Here, let's read that verse again. Look at the last part of this. This is clear. This is, do you guys see that part? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning
you.
That's right, concerning me. God's will for my life is that right there. No question.
Right.
Okay, somebody says, well, you know, but I want to know what I got to, I want to know about my career, I want to know, you know, about my children, I want to know about, I want to know. You do this part first.
That's right.
You do the part you know for sure to do, and God's going to fill in the rest. He's going to fill in the rest.
He sure does.
Rejoice. Rejoice. I want to read you a quote by Spurgeon because I think it's so good. I hope this is helping you. It's helping me. Okay, here's what Spurgeon said. He said, turn this book over. That means go all the way through it. Go all the way through the Bible and see if there's any precept that the Lord has given you that says, groan in the Lord always, and again I say groan. He said, you may groan if you like. You have Christian liberty for that. And at the same time, do believe that you have a larger liberty to rejoice. For so it is put before you. Okay? You can groan. Oh, who likes to be around those people? Oh, my word. And then I smash my finger. And my whole life. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Every time you talk to them. Has anybody ever met some people that they're always in a drama every time you talk to them? Huh? Yeah, you ever met those people? Do you like being a, there they come. Hey, come over here and talk to me. No, it's not like that. Oh, yes, oh, man. There he comes. Oh, boy. Okay, don't judge me. That might be some of you sometime, right? But look, groan if you want to. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to rejoice. Okay, God's will for your life. God's will for your life is that you rejoice. Is that what it says? Am I making this up?
Nope.
Okay, don't listen. Don't go home today and say, man, that guy didn't know what he was talking. You could say that part, but the Bible here is saying something. Please, rejoice. Find something. Yes, I'm ready. Ed.
If you want to turn back to chapter 4, verse 3, there's more there.
Oh, I was going there. I was going there. I was going there. I didn't leave that. No. I didn't leave that. But I'm heading there. I want to get to the okay. That's God's will. One other place in first chapter 4, verse 3 says this. And we should this should all come to us too. Read chapter 4, verse 3. Somebody read it out loud for me.
For this is the will of God, comma, for sanctification.
That's good.
Semicolon.
That's right.
That you abstain from sexual immorality, semicolon, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. And I'll just stop reading.
Okay, hold it right there. I want to tell you something about that. Look at the very first thing. All of us should look at this and know this. The very first thing in our sanctification that Paul brings out, it's not the last thing. It's not in the middle. This is the very first thing. He brings out our sexual morality.
That's right.
Do you think that's an accident?
Nope.
Do you think, oh, just wait, we're just putting these words down, so we're going to put out the sexual thing right now. Is that an accident?
Nope.
Absolutely not. I want you to think with me, all of you in here, think with me. Do you know what God did to his people to mark them as his people? Do you know he used,
circumcision?
He used the sexual part of man to mark him. Think about that for a minute. Is this important to God?
Yep.
It's not like you have cut your baby fingernail. I'm a Christian. No, that is not how he did it. It's not how he did it. Okay, cut your hair. It's not how he did it. He marked man on his sexual part because he thought it was that important. So, it's not strange to me that right now, when Paul starts talking about sanctification, the first thing he goes to is our sexual morality. I'm going to ask you a question. Are we in a sexually immoral world?
Yes.
Yes. Is everything that sells, everything that it's all about sexual things, right? You can't hardly go anywhere now without this stuff everywhere, right? We are to be different.
That's right.
This is one way to mark us different than the world. Go ahead.
Didn't God also have Abraham marked there because of the birth of Isaac? And wasn't it also to represent, I'm the one giving this child?
Oh, yeah. It's a mark. It's a mark, but it wasn't like a tattoo. You know what I mean? It was, this is something that happens to the physical body. And it's the way God marked his people and the way Abraham marked his son, right? Right? It is a mark. Okay, pass that. That was God's will for our life, too. That was an ad. I was coming to that. All right, let's go back here to joy now. I want to go to joy for another second. Look at this. Spurgeon said this, too. I got some quotes from him, but he said this. Spurgeon said, when joy and prayer are married, their firstborn child is gratitude. How do you like that? I thought that was good. If you've got joy, right, and prayer, then you're going to have gratitude. I'm going to ask this. Has anyone ever been around someone who's unthankful? How does that make you feel being around somebody who's unthankful? Have you ever had somebody talk really bad about their parents? Oh, man. And my mom, and she did this, and she talked. Ooh, ooh, ooh. How does it make you feel? And my dad's a jerk. And how does it make you feel about that person?
Let's talk.
Yeah. I want to lay hands on them and pray for them, of course. But no, I won't listen to it. I won't let somebody do that to me. I won't let them talk bad about their parents. You know what? I'm sorry, I don't have time for that. And the whole time I'm thinking, they changed your poopy butt? And you're going to talk bad about them? No. They fed you? No. I'm all done with that. Listen, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful people. We need to be the most thankful. If people could say something about you, man, you know, that guy's, he's thankful. He's thankful for what he's got. We need to be thankful. Wouldn't you love to see your children thank? Does it not bless your heart when a little kid says, thank you, when you give them something? Doesn't that bless your heart? It does mine. We need to be the same way. We need to be thanking God. Okay. Got something else for you. About prayer. Some people say, how can you pray? I can't pray all the time. I can't. No, you can't pray. You can't get on your knees and clasp your hands in your room and pray all the time. That can't happen. But you should be able to pray like I am praying right now. Haha, you couldn't even hear me. I'm praying, I'm saying, God, help me, help us, right? You can pray prayers. They don't have to be long. But you should be in a point of prayer where you can pray through the day. Mm-hmm. Okay, God, I know I'm going into this store. God, please help me to find all the stuff I need. You can say that. Right? You can pray and say, God, help me as I talk to my child here. I know, God, I got to discipline this one, or I got to, God, help me. You can pray this stuff. It doesn't matter. Listen to this. It's a command. And the use of your voice is not essential. Do you know that? The use of your voice in prayer is not essential. You don't have to have a voice to pray. You can pray silently. Okay? You can pray. The posture is not what's important. That's not the most important thing. Oh, well, God probably didn't hear me because I wasn't on my knees. No. The posture doesn't matter, how you are with your body. The place of the prayer isn't that. You can be anywhere and pray. Anywhere and pray. Anywhere. The time of day doesn't matter. But a Christian should never be in a place where he or she could not pray.
That's right.
You should never be someplace where you couldn't pray. You hear me? I want to tell you this. And not for me, but maybe for you to help you. No, this could maybe help you. So I go to this guy. I've known him for a long time. His name is Dave. He has a business. I go to his business. I'm talking to him. I want to talk to him about something. But he starts telling me, my wife found out on Mother's Day she's got cancer, Steve. Stage 4. On Mother's Day, we found out. He said, and I'm talking to him. I'm overwhelmed. He said, she's in such pain. We've got hospice at her house right now. Can you imagine hearing all this? And this is somebody you like. You care about them, and they're telling you this, and I'm breaking. I've got nothing. Empty. I got nothing. And he's telling me this, and I said, Dave, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, Dave. I'm sorry about your wife. I went out to my van. As soon as I get out to the van, I start praying. Oh, God, help Dave, help his wife, you know. I'm really praying out there in the van for him. God, would you comfort her? Please help him as he's trying to take care of his wife, right? And I said, and I started to drive out of the parking lot, and I said, you dummy. That's me. When I say you dummy, that's me. I said, you dummy, go pray with them. Now, I've never prayed with this guy before. You know what I did? I said, that's it. I said, why am I going to come out here and pray for him, right, like crazy, and not go in there and pray with him? So I went back in. I went up to Dave. You're Dave. That'll work. And I said, Dave, there's nobody in the store. I said, Dave, do you care if I pray with you? And he said, no, that'd be fine. So I stood in his store. And I prayed for him. I asked God to help his wife and to comfort her and to comfort him. You know? And I said, look, man, I wasn't going to just pray for you in my van and drive off. I said, thanks for letting me pray for you. I thanked him. And I left. You know, that was on a Monday. His wife died that Thursday. And I called him over the weekend, that weekend. You know what he did? This guy broke. This is a gruffer, older man, and he said, Steve, I want to thank you so much for praying for my wife. That meant so much to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
And it means everything to him. He said she was comforted, she was talking to us. It was a great time. She died peacefully. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I went way over time. You guys should have thrown a rock at me. Go ahead.
Couple things. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's a powerful verse there. And praying with people anytime, anywhere, lost people, saved people, anytime. And even if some of them don't want you to, pray anyway, because it's conviction then. Isaiah 55, the word doesn't return void. But praying with lost people standing in the aisle at work, in a restaurant, wherever it is, it means the world to them. And the Word of God does not return void.
I'm so glad. Listen, I would have felt terrible. Do you hear me? I would have felt terrible to drive out of there and not pray with them. Now, have I done that before? Yes. Yes. There's been people I wish I would have prayed with, and I didn't. But I don't want to do that. That's not my desire. Listen, I love you. I hope you know that. I love you. I pray for you. I pray for you by name. Before I'm going to teach a class, you've already been prayed for. And I'm asking God to help you. Listen, a guy from the 1600s, his name's Richard Baxter.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yes, he is. He said this. He said, if you love people, and if you really love them, you can tell them things. Okay? So listen, I really love you. I hope I've told you things from God's Word, and I hope it helps you. Listen, rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Listen, I want you to be clear on this one part. It doesn't say for everything be thankful. Do you hear me? It says in everything be thankful. That's very important. Right? It's very important. In everything, not for everything. Okay? But we can do it. We can find something good to be happy about. Are we ready to pray? Any words by anyone, just real quick before we leave? Okay? All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for letting us know your will for our lives. We can never say we don't know what you want. I know what you want this morning, God. Amen. You want me to rejoice, and you want me to be able to pray to you all through the day. God, you want me to be thankful in everything. God, you want me to find something to be thankful for. And God, I pray you'd help us to do that this morning. God, help us to love those who labor for us. And God, help our brotherly love. God, there's so many areas that I need your help in. Please help us all in Jesus' name. Amen.